For much of this hour, we've talked about the future of Iraq and American policy there. Today's also a day of mourning as we reflect on the 1,000th U.S. military death in Iraq. Charlie Moskos, military sociologist at Northwestern University, joins us now from Southern California to help us put a more human face on those numbers. Good to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Neil.
Help us get past these statistics and understand better who these people were. What can you tell us about the men and women who died in Iraq?
Well, first of all, it's important to note of the 1,000 dead, about 25% of those were died from other than combat causes, that is through accidents, illness, you know, heat stroke, things of that sort, including a small number of suicides and murders. So that's one factor to keep in mind. But by and large, those fighting in Iraq and the same in Afghanistan are working class Americans. They are small town America, and they are also from the inner city to a large degree. And these, of course, are volunteers, many of whom join the military to get out of an otherwise dead end existence. They're loyal, they're patriotic. I was there in this past December, and their morale was higher than I had anticipated. But much of that morale factor is determined by how much home front support they are going to get, and that seems to be wobbling right now. It's also a fact, too, that over 95% of the casualties in Iraq have been suffered by the ground forces, the Army and the Marines, and that's sort of typical. So that's another issue that it is the Army and the Marines which are taking the vast brunt of this these deaths. And one other interesting statistic is that in the Vietnam War, where I was a reporter and have written about, the number of casualties, death casualties, was about 3-1 compared to those who were killed in action. And for some reason in Iraq, it's about 5 or 6-1 ratio. So there are many more casualties per you know, KIA than action types. And that's a difference. And maybe because there's better medical care now.
Or better body armor, that sort of thing as well.
Yes.
For the first time in an American war, women, significant numbers of women, are represented in the combat deaths.
Yes. Well, of course, women are not in direct combat roles, but in this kind of insurgency war, women are, of course, vulnerable, as are other people in support and logistics roles. It's somewhat interesting that the two most famous names that come out of the Iraq War so far were Jessica Lynch and Lindy England, both women, coming, interestingly enough, from working-class backgrounds in Appalachia, and not that their hometowns weren't that far apart from each other. About 25 women have been have died in Iraq since the beginning of hostilities, a small fraction of the total, 1,000, obviously. But there's been no uproar in America over this. It seems women dying in war, and we had some number die in the first Gulf War as well, has caused no particular concern, and that's a new development. It may be that people say they prefer somebody else's daughter to die than their sons.
After Vietnam, America was said to be, the American military was said to be casualty averse. How is the country going to respond, do you think, to the 1,000th death in Iraq?
Well, as I said, the KIAs is about 750, but that's still, every one of those is a tragedy. Historically speaking, though, this is a low casualty rate for a war. Since, in Vietnam we lost 47,000 in combat and about 58,000 total dead. So it was 58,000 in Vietnam versus 1,000 in Iraq currently. And of course, we have a bigger population now than we had back in the Vietnam War. So I think on the whole, Americans, it's sort of an ambivalence. Unlike Vietnam, nobody's going to be spitting at the soldiers when they return. But at the same time, there's no real anti-war movement of the magnitude that we had during the Vietnam War. Certainly public opinion polls show, dropping support for the war, less and less tolerance of American casualties, but there doesn't seem to be any real upset over everything.
So this, you don't think is going to force any rethink?
Not certainly before the elections. Though in the long haul, depending if these casualties do continue, obviously people will be getting more and more disillusioned, and that will ultimately have effect. It appears that, historically speaking, a country will accept long-term and heavy casualties only if the children of the elite lives are on the line. That is not the case, of course, in this war. I don't think no child of a congressman or senator or a Fortune 400 person has died in Iraq. So I think, you know, if you had Jenna Bush over there or something of that sort, I think the commitment to the war would probably be stronger than it is now.
Charlie Moskos, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Charles Moskos is the author of The Postmodern Military, Armed Forces After the Cold War, a professor at Northwestern University. He joined us by phone from California. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.